Oh God, we thank you for Jesus and Lord, what he did for us on the cross. And God, we are just standing today with that kind of confidence and assurance that you died for us and that you rose again so that we could be justified in your presence. And we thank you for that. God, what a sweet spirit here today, Father. We thank you for your joy that you bring us today. And God, how I pray, Father, Lord, that you would be here. You're already here. We acknowledge you. But how, Lord, you would be with us in the time that we open up the Word of God, that it would just speak into our hearts today. And God, I just pray you'll help me to preach faithfully within context, that every word that comes out of my mouth would be for your glory and your kingdom. And God, we just pray today for the person that's hurting today. Lord, for the Christian that is backslidden. God, may you give grace today and help us. We love you, Jesus, and we pray this in your name. Amen. Give God some praise this morning. He's a good God. Thank you, band, for leading us. Thank you. Well, it feels good outside, doesn't it, church? And it's great to be able to come together today on a beautiful day to worship the Lord and to celebrate God and to have a good time with the Lord. If you got your sermon notes this morning, take it out. This morning, we're trying something new. We have kids' bulletins, and hopefully the kids that are in here today, we transitioned our kids' ministry to where the older kids are now in here with us. So hopefully the kids have a kids' bulletin, and if not, next week you know to look for that, kids that are in here, so make sure you know that. And you guys this morning can follow along with the sermon as well. You have your sermon notes with you as well, so make sure you guys pay attention to that as we dig into the Word of God this morning. So take out your sermon notes if you got them. Make sure you get that connection card filled out sometime in the service and get that in the offering plate when it comes around to you. Well, we have had just a great last few weeks of going through the book of Ephesians chapter 4 and most of 5 to study what Paul tells us about living the new life in Christ. And we've called this series A Life in HD. And what we've meant by that is that it is a life in His deliverance. That life really is better and clearer and makes more sense when we're walking the way He wants us to walk. And we've learned a lot. We've learned that when Jesus comes into our heart, we are not the same. We are a different people. And also, when we accept Jesus and He comes in us, we are to spend our lives pleasing God and making sure that the Lord is happy with our lives. We are to watch and imitate God, that what we see Him doing, we are to do. And then last week, we talked about that we're to shine and that we shine forth and we're not afraid to be different in a very dark world. And what I want to tell you today is that if we do this, if we learn to live the Christian life in HD in His deliverance, what we will discover is that we really will live a life of wisdom. Now, speaking of wisdom, we have this year almost completed our first year of kindergarten with Gracie. Any other parents survive their first year of school with their kids? We've learned a lot this year about kindergarten. We've learned how to do a little bit of math and writing and reading. We've learned about dinosaurs and butterflies. And we've learned that a potato will grow stuff and things like that if it's in a jar. We've learned a lot about that this school year. We also learned that when your first little girl goes to school, that mama really will survive. They won't die. And neither will daddy. They'll be okay when they go to school. Looking back, I always liked school. I always enjoyed school. School was never really a burden for me. I liked the activities. I liked the social aspect and things like that of school. I always enjoyed school. But now, I didn't always enjoy the work of school, all right? And really, even through college, if there was a major in having fun, that probably would have been my major in college, was having fun and goofing off. And even though I had a great time and I learned in college, it really wasn't until I went to my seminary, my master's work, that I really began to understand that I like to learn. And it's funny that I would go through all the way through college and not really catch that, but it wasn't until I began my master's work that I really said, man, you know, I really like to learn. And I was pastoring my first church when that first happened. And so I was learning a lot of things about ministry. And it was just neat because I was able to learn and then apply what I learned in the classroom into my ministerial field. So it was a different context, where in college I was learning kind of some theory and stuff like that, but I wasn't applying it. It wasn't until seminary that I learned, man, here's some cool techniques or some ideas that I could try in church and lead my church through, and or I learned this about the book of Isaiah, so, you know, I could teach about the book of Isaiah tonight, and just neat stuff. And I learned that seminary was a lot of fun, and I enjoyed seminary. And I learned something about learning that you learn. Now, this is not rocket science, but I hope you learn something about learning that I learned. Are you ready? When you learn, it is meant to be applied. Did you know that? When you learn something, you are meant to apply it. Now, there are several educators in this room. And I know every one of you all, if you are teaching a writing class or a math class or a history class, I know your kids are going to walk out of there, man, and they're going to know everything they need to know, Brett, about Benjamin Franklin. They're going to know, right? They're going to know. And their lives are going to be better because of what they learned about Ben Franklin. They're going to be better. But now, sadly, that doesn't always happen in school. Real quick, does everybody remember everything they learned in high school chemistry class? Does anybody remember anything they learned in high school chemistry class? A couple of you guys did. But here's the thing about learning. You ready? It's meant to be applied. If you were to look up the word wisdom in the dictionary, this is what's neat. Wisdom is not just knowing facts. See, you can be an intellectual egghead about a lot of stuff, but not be wise. See, wisdom, when you define wisdom, the definition of wisdom is the quality of having experience, knowledge, and good judgment. Wisdom, another definition, is it's not just knowing, it's knowing and doing. See, you can know all the book stuff, but if you don't apply it, it makes no use at all. See, you can be smart intellectually, but absolutely foolish when it comes to the area of wisdom. See, all of us have learned things that we don't apply. For example, you learned that when you are driving in a 45 mile per hour speed zone, that you are supposed to drive, what? 45 miles per hour. And even though you've learned that route because you drive on it every single day on the way to work, the one day you were going 55 miles per hour and the man in blue got you and he pulls you over and he says, "Do you know how fast you were going?" To which you reply, "I didn't know." Really? Really? "I just didn't know. Did y'all just change that from 55 to 45? "No, sir. It's been that way for 20 years around here. Well, I just never noticed it." No, you knew it. You just didn't what? Apply it. Big difference. See, that's where intellectual thinking is okay and great. But if you don't apply the intellectual side of knowing something, you are lacking wisdom. There's a big difference. We sometimes have a lot of people with answers, but they don't apply it. So they're not wise. They're not wise. Now, as we have learned from the book of Ephesians, chapter 4 and 5, Jesus, or Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, has told us so much about how we're to live as a new creation. And we're supposed to just be a different people. And we've learned so much about applying the Christian walk to how we live every day, whether you work in a factory or in a car lot or whatever, in a school, that Jesus wants to shine through you in the way you act and live. But the real kicker is, with all that we've learned, that you are a different person in Christ. If you know that intellectually, but you don't apply it, the Bible would say that you are foolish today. You are acting foolish with knowing what to do, but not doing it. See, God gives us this instruction, not because he's this angry God sitting up in heaven just with a magnifying glass wanting to fry us like little ants. "Oh, I just get my jollies of seeing how miserable I can make Mike Ray in the name of Jesus," you know. It's not what he does. God is guiding us the same way that a father would guide his child. "Hun, don't touch the hot stove." Not because I'm anti-stove, Not because I am absolutely bigoted towards all stoves in the world. Don't touch the stove, because if you touch the stove, you'll get burned. So am I depriving my children of the great experience of laying their face on a hot grill? I don't think so. Why does God do this? Because he's leading us to apply. He wants us to just not just have a bunch of theological education, but to apply what we've learned and to know that there is a wise way to live. God is a loving, caring Heavenly Father, and he wants you to make the most of your time. He wants you to live your life to the fullest. You know, when we named this church Life Community, that was intentional. Because I believe when Jesus comes into our heart, he does not take away life, church. He gives us life. We really know how to live in Jesus. We don't get life robbed from us or sucked from us. We get life added to us. And that's a good thing. And now God is wanting to guide us and lead us to make sure in this dark world that we know what to do. Hey, God loves wisdom so much, there's a whole book in the Bible about wisdom called Proverbs. You know, there's 31 books in Proverbs, or 31 chapters in Proverbs. You can read a chapter a day that corresponds to that day, and you'd be up on the wisdom. So much wisdom. God wants you to be wise. And this world is so wicked. It is so anti-Christian. And it's only getting darker. It's not looking good. And if you're going to navigate successfully as a Christ follower, you have got to know some stuff about how to live for Jesus. But you've also got to apply some stuff into your life. You can't just let it go in one ear and out the other. It's got to stick in the heart somewhere. And you've got to apply it. The HD life, and this is how I want to conclude this series. The HD life, the big idea of today that we're going to break apart. The HD life walks it with wisdom. Can we just read that together? Because I really believe that today. The HD life walks with wisdom. If you've been delivered, his deliverance, HD, his deliverance, if you've experienced the goodness of God and the grace of God, God doesn't want you to be a fool today. He wants you to be wise in all that you do. God doesn't want you to be an idiot for Jesus. Did you know that today? He wants you to be wise. So I want us today to look from what Paul said about how to be wise as a Christian, from what the Apostle Paul tells us. How do I know? Here's a question. How do I know? And we're talking to Christ followers today. How do I know if I'm walking in wisdom? How can I tell if my life is walking in a wise way? Let's read the scripture this morning, starting in verse 15 of chapter 5 of Ephesians. Paul says, pay careful attention then to how you walk. That's been a big theme of the last two chapters. He said the word walk over and over and over. Walk with love. Walk with this. Walk with wisdom. Pay attention to how you walk, not as unwise people, but as what? As wise. Making the most of the time. There you go. God doesn't want you to squander your life on earth. He wants you to live life on earth, experience life, but only the way that is really meant to live, and that is through Jesus. Making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. And don't get drunk with wine, which leads to reckless actions, but be filled by the Spirit. And then he explains what it means to be filled by the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Singing and making music from your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of Christ, or that is sometimes translated in the reverence or awe of Christ. Paul tells us what a life of wisdom looks like. So if our big idea today is that if you're delivered by Jesus, you're going to be a wise person, let me explain from Paul what it looks like to walk as a wise Christian. Everybody's a wise Christian. And before I do that, if I had to survey you today, and don't answer out loud, okay? To be honest. If I said, you do a personal inventory, are you a wise Christian? Yes or no? Don't answer out loud. Don't answer out loud. But if you had to judge yourself today and say, am I a Christian who's doing silly stuff? Or foolish stuff. Okay? Where would you be? All right, you want to learn? Of course, because you need to apply it for wisdom. Amen? You know? I thought you had my introduction, right? Okay, here we go. You ready? First, if you're going to walk with wisdom, an AC life walking with in wisdom, I walk in wisdom when I understand the Lord's will. Look what he says in verse 17. So don't be what? Don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Paul says, don't be a fool, be wise. And how? By understanding what God wants for your life. Now, Paul seems to outline that foolishness and wisdom is a choice. That you either choose to be a fool or you choose to be wise. And again, he's talking to who? Believers. He's talking to people that have already accepted Jesus. So can a Christian be a fool? Yes, they can. Absolutely they can. They can act foolish. But part of choosing wisdom is understanding what God's will is. Well, Kenny, man, that's a great question. How do I understand God's will? Everybody talks about God's will like it's just this like thing you got to climb up on the mountain and you got to find some monk up on the mountain and you say, oh, brother so-and-so, can you, I have hiked through the streets of Jerusalem. I've walked across Mount Tabor and Mount Carmel, and I have found you in the Sinai Desert where God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. Can you tell me, please, I have fasted for 80 days. Can you please tell me what God's will is? See, that's what we think God's will is like. We've got to just this big, fuzzy mystery. What is the will of God? What is it? Well, here's what's really cool. Are you ready? God's will is not a mystery. God has not hidden his will from us. Actually, when Paul's talking about understand the Lord's will, that's in context to what he's just said in the last two chapters. So all you got to do to understand God's will is just go from verse 17 and read up, and you got God's will.
Well, now, Kenny, that doesn't sound as exciting as climbing the mountain to find the monk.
No, but it sounds a lot easier. Sounds a whole lot easier. And here's what I know is that God is not trying to keep his word a secret. Believe it or not, his divine will is correctly contained within Scripture. Did you know that?
Kenny, I just don't know what God wants. Read the Bible and you will.
Well, it ain't that simple.
Yes, it is.
No, it can't be that simple.
Yes, it is.
No, there's just no way God's will is like that.
Yes, it is.
See, God's will is in his word. That's why we honor the word of God like we do in our churches, because we believe that when we preach it and teach it, it's anointed. It's truth from Genesis to Revelation. There's not a lie in it or an error in it. It is God's word. And you know what? When you apply God's word, guess what? You get wise. Now, don't answer out loud. But if you don't read the Bible, can you be wise?
Now, that's a question to ask. You think you're wise. If you don't know what the Scripture says, can you really be wise?
Let me tell you another thing about wisdom. If you truly desire to be wise, never, ever, ever, under any circumstance, buy furniture in a box. Never. I'm just going to give you this one for free today, all right? Never, ever, ever buy furniture in a box. You know, you got this pretty picture on the front of it, and you go home, and you dump that thing out, and man, where's the table, you know? I see screws and bolts and Allen wrenches, and I see something that looks like a legs. What's the square piece of a round table? What is that? And what's all this stuff? And you know, there was a designer somewhere. It had to have been an engineer, right, Charlie? Where's Charlie? I don't know where Charlie is. It had to be an engineer, right, Charlie? That made these tables, right? They sat down there, designed these things on a draft board, got it all looking good. They had a plan exactly how it was supposed to look, right? And you get this thing together, and you say, man, I have put together my table, but we've got five more pieces left of this thing. That designer must have been wrong. He must have not done it right. No, he did it just fine.
And he was so nice to you and so gracious to you and so loving to you as the designer that he is. You know what? Out of the goodness of his heart, he included in that box with you directions and instructions, right? But I'm a man, can you don't read instructions? Yeah, we know. Come to my house. I can set you in two chairs that do this. I promise you, ask Taryn. Can that needs to be tightened up? Yeah, honey, it's going to keep needing tightened up too. Why? Why do we do that? Because we think we got all the answers, right? You know what? You don't got the answers in life. You don't got them. We're fallen, sinful human beings that are as dumb as a sack of rocks. And what we need is the grace of God and the wisdom of God. And where do we find that at? In the written word of God. Can you sure do talk a lot about reading your Bible around here? Absolutely, because every one of y'all are blessed. Oh, I don't have a Bible. Come see me afterwards. I will get you a Bible before you leave here. You will have a copy of God's Word. We live in a place where the Word of God is so available to us. You can get on an iPhone and download all the translations you want for free. There is absolutely no excuse except for foolishness and laziness for you not to read your Bible. You know, that's a harsh word. I know. And I've been guilty of neglecting God's Word. And when I'm guilty of neglecting God's Word, you know what that makes me? A fool. A fool. Because God has given me the greatest word ever in the instructions of life. And all I have to do is open it up and read it. Well, Kenny, I'm not a theologian. I can't understand it. Sure you can. Don't downplay yourself that much. Don't do that. You can study God's word. You're smart enough. You're smart enough. You can do it. I know you can. But pick it up for yourself and read God's scripture. If you want to walk in wisdom, you have to understand what the Lord's will is. And that comes through studying God's word. Second, if you want to walk in wisdom, okay, you got to understand this. I will walk in wisdom when I avoid drunkenness and recklessness. Now look what Paul says. He says, understand the Lord's will. And it leads right into the very next thing. And don't get drunk with wine, which leads to reckless actions. We'll stop there and pick up the next one, the next point. But don't get drunk with wine. Paul connects wisdom, not a shocker here, with keeping your mind sober and keeping your mind clear. This is not a shocker here. He connects us using our mind in such a way that we are able to think. And he tackles primarily the issue of wine. And he says, understand God's will, but don't get drunk on wine, which leads to reckless behavior. He's saying, you know, when you drink wine and you get intoxicated, you're going to do things, you're not going to be in control. And a Christian is not to allow his or her body outside influences to come in where they lose control. Because ultimately, as we'll talk about in the next point, the control happens through the Holy Spirit. So we should not willingly give up control of our mind. The Christian is to have a mind that is on Christ. Now, I know what you're doing. You're ready. All y'all nervous today, aren't you? Ooh, Kenny's going to have to talk about alcohol. We knew it was coming. We danced around it. We tiptoed around it. I didn't want to ask the preacher. I'll ask the deacons, but I won't ask the preacher. Kenny, what about alcohol? What about drinking? Did we really get to it today? We did. Because we're preaching verse by verse today. And it's in there. Now, let's talk about it for a second. Oh, y'all, when you get to this, what you want to do is you want to start an argument about alcohol, whether it's right to drink or not right to drink. So let's just dialogue this for a second, okay? First, you're going to ask this question. Is it a sin to drink? Okay. Then you're going to ask this question. Is it okay to drink but not get drunk? Hopefully nobody in this room would say it's okay to drink and get drunk because that's just wrong. Okay? Hopefully nobody's in that boat today because Paul has clearly told us not to get drunk. Okay? Now, before you start diverging here, from the text and the context. Remember, you always read the text within the context. So the context of this passage is about what? Wisdom. Okay? Don't forget that. It's about wisdom. So maybe the questions to ask, whether or not is it a sin to drink, maybe that's the wrong question to ask in this passage. Now, there's some other passages that we can go to, and we might go to those one day. But in this context of this passage, it's about wisdom. So let's just talk about wisdom for a second in regards to alcohol, can we? Is that all right? Okay. I want to ask you this question. Instead of asking whether is it a sin to drink or not, why don't we ask this question? Is it wise to drink? Boy, that's a different question, ain't it? Come on, amen or oh me. I ain't talking about if it's a sin or not. I'm asking in context of the scripture, and the scripture's talking about wisdom and the passage, and the question I want to ask about the passage is this: is it wise? Here's a question. Can you ever become an alcoholic if you never drink? Can you ever commit that sin? Can you ever commit the sin of drunkenness if you never drink? Now, with that being said, understand that wisdom is so important. And here's the question. You ask me where I'm at on it, I'll tell you. I abstain completely. Completely, 100%. I experienced alcohol through family. I have no desire to go down that road. None whatsoever. I will not allow it in my house. I will not be around it. I'm not one of these kind of guys, well, don't you go eat real Hacienda because they serve alcohol. No, come on, I'll go eat Mexican with you, come on. I just ain't going to drink your little frou-frou cup, all right? Give me a Diet Coke, we'll be all right. But I will say this, all right? You got to ask about wisdom. Now, I sure would rather for my girls to learn about Jesus and the scriptures from me rather than learning how to drink. You with me on that? That's me. I'm going to abstain. I'm not tackling the issue whether it's a sin or not. I'm tackling the wisdom of it. Y'all with me today? I'm tackling the wisdom of it. Well, Kenny, it's good for my heart. You know what? Cutting off from your Big Macs is good for your heart too. Be real. Come on. Come on. I mean, wisdom. Cutting off real Hacienda is good for your heart. But listen. Listen. Wisdom. But here's the kicker. Are you ready? Here's what we know that's not right. Drunkenness. Why? Because you lose control. And that leads to what? Reckless behavior. Which leads to what? A bad testimony. Of doing things that are out of your control that's not reflecting Jesus. People get drunk, they beat the fire out of their wife. They get drunk, they drive down the road, they hit somebody. Kill them. That's horrible. That's bad. And it leads to a lot of awful stuff. But I also know that if we're talking about wisdom, there are other things besides alcohol that takes your mind off of the Lord, isn't there? And diverts your mind. There are many things that will put you in places spiritually where you're not thinking straight. And I think this is also applicable to that as well. To where, for example, anything that you're diverging into that's causing your mind to wander off in a la-la land. And I'm not against reading novels or anything like that. I'm just saying things that lead you to dark places. Are you with me? You gotta be careful. That could be anything from a phone to Facebook to Fox News. And you can watch CNN, get bowled up. You can watch Fox News, get bowled up, ready to fight and fuss and cuss. And all you care about is just candidate or that candidate. You just losing your Christian testimony. Hey, I don't care if even if it's politics, if it causes you to diverge into unchristlike behavior, stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Because it's not wise. It's not wise. Understand that our minds must be sober, not just from alcohol, but but from anything that leads us into reckless behavior. Amen, church. Anything that leads us to reckless behavior. I walk in wisdom. Third, when I give the Spirit control. Now, understand the context again. Paul has told us to understand God's will. He then tells us not to be filled with wine to the point of drunkenness, but instead to be filled with the Spirit, is what he would say. Be filled with the Spirit. And that is a contrast. So don't get drunk with wine, but be filled by the Spirit. So it's a wordplay, kind of. Are you with me on that? Don't let all the alcohol come into you, but instead let the Spirit come into you and fill you up and get you right. And he says, but be filled by the Spirit, verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making music from your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another, fear of Christ. Now, drinking and getting drunk leads to reckless behavior, but being filled with the Spirit leads to productive behavior. So do you see the contrast there? He's making a difference. Drunkenness leads to reckless behavior, but the Spirit leads to wonderful behavior. And he begins to explain what this looks like. And it's so neat what he says. He says that we speak when the Spirit comes in us. We speak to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making music from your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in fear of Christ. Now understand this. When we accept Jesus, the Holy Spirit immediately comes into our lives, instantly. And Paul would say this earlier in Ephesians, that the Spirit lives in us at belief in chapter 1 is when he says that. So the Spirit comes into us the moment we believe. But being filled by the Spirit, maybe a better way to say that to help us understand it, would be that we're allowing the Spirit control of our lives. If you are a Christ follower, you have the Spirit. You have the Spirit. But the question we have to ask ourselves is, does the Spirit always have you? Does he always have your actions, your thoughts, what you're doing? Are you yielding to the Lord daily what you're supposed to be doing and saying, God, this is my life is for you. I'm living for you. That's Spirit control. Sometimes we hear Spirit filled and we think that means that we're going to be jumping up and down, rolling on the floor, barking like a dog in the Spirit. That's not what it is. That's not what it is. Well, how do you know what Spirit filled living is? Because the Bible says so. And what does it say? It gives you three examples of Spirit filled living. Here you go on the slide there. Okay. The Spirit wants control over these three things. You ready? My speech, my gratitude, and my relationships. What does Spirit-filled living really look like? Paul tells us it changes the way we talk to people. We sing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making music from the heart of the Lord. The drunk, boy, he gets that bottle hanging around that piano, and boy, it's piano man until Jesus comes back. You know what I mean? It's just going at it. But what does the Christian do? He's up here on stage playing his music to the Lord. She's out there in that crowd singing and lifting her hearts to the Lord. It's not a singing that is foolishness. It's a singing that's full of something. It's a different kind of singing. We don't have bar songs. We got Jesus songs. And I'll tell you, it's a lot better. It's a lot better. It's full of something. It's full of something. The Spirit, our gratitude, giving thanks to God the Father. You know, when the Spirit's on you, it makes you a thankful person. You start being thankful for your family and your kids and your church and your community. You start being positive and be thankful. Person that's negative all the time, you aren't living with the Spirit. You're not Spirit-filled if you're negative all the time. According to Paul. And submitting to one another. It affects our relationships. That we respect people. We respect positions. We respect titles. We are living a life of respect towards people. Well, Kenny, it's a lot easier for me to say that the Spirit makes me jump up and down. Yeah, it is. And there ain't nothing wrong with jumping up and down and getting excited, man. Listen, I'd rather have a little bit of wildfire than no fire at all. All right, I'm okay with that. But here's what I'm really okay with, is when the Spirit is in you, your actions are changing. That's what real Spirit-led living is like. Now, With all that said and done, you going to apply it? Are you going to apply it? Because that's what wisdom is, knowing and doing. And Paul gives us this awesome two chapters about a new life of living. And he says, pay attention to how you live. Not as foolish, but as wise, Paul would say. Observe how you're living. You know, we're doing a Financial Peace University class. How many of you all are in that class in here? Yeah, they're doing awesome, by the way. And I think we need to commend every one of them for going through that class. Don't you think so? For doing a fantastic job. And I am so, so proud of them. Paying off debt, getting things in line, getting budgets to go. And what's been really neat about that class is that they have had to pay attention to their resources. They've had to notice their cash flow. They had to take note of this wonderful thing that they have and apply it. Now, you do that with a lot of things that are valuable to you. Over the weekend, we did a little bonfire at our house and roasted marshmallows on a little, well, pit fire, kind of, not a bonfire, but a pit fire. And you know what? My two-year-old was out there roasting marshmallows. Now, if you know Hope, she's out there without a shirt on cooking marshmallows. Gracie's like scared to death of it, and Hope's just, that's how she is. And you better believe Daddy had his hand around that little booger the entire time she was on that fire. She could not get close enough to that thing. And Daddy was not going to let go of her either. Gracie, no problem. Joy, she's cooing in one-year-old land. You know, that's what she's doing. But Hope, boy, she just wants to jump on it. And she would have. But I had to hold her. Why? Because she's a very valuable commodity to me. She's a very valuable asset to my life. She's my little girl. And you know what? I don't punch people. I don't fight. But you try to hit my girls, I will. You try to get my girls, I will. That's just who I am. I love you and I'll hug you until you mess with them. I love them. But isn't that what I'm supposed to do? I mean, wrap my arms around them. Saw some prom pictures online. Don't want to embarrass anybody, but got the date, the girl, the boyfriend, and the dad who may be in this room with an AR rifle right next to him. Thought it was awesome. Thought it was awesome. Awesome. Amazing. I will do that. Thank you, Scott. It was awesome. It was awesome. Awesome. But here's what I'm saying. You take care. And you protect stuff that's important to you. Pay attention. That's wisdom. You don't let something that's important you just slip through your fingers, do you? This great change that God has made in your life, it requires you to pay such careful attention to how you're living. Not as foolish, but wise, because Jesus Christ has put a major investment into you. And that major investment is His blood. And His Spirit, when He died on the cross and He rose again. And when Christ came to your life, buddy, He did not save you to stay the same. He saved you to be different. We can't expect the lost world to act like us, and we're not going to. But we do expect the church to act like Christians. Amen. This whole series has been about living life in HD, and I close it with this. Are you walking foolishly? Or are you walking with wisdom? It's time to observe your life. Is Christ there? And are you being obedient? Would you bow your head and close your eyes today? Father, we love you. We thank you for Jesus who died for us on the cross. And Lord, in this moment now, I pray, God, that you, Lord, would help us to be wise Christians, Lord. Lord, not to be foolish in our actions, because that leads to recklessness, Lord, but wise, just thinking about what we do, how that reflects our testimony, how that reflects our church, how that reflects our community, the people we work with. So, Father, I pray that all of us would just be so aware that we have a testimony in Jesus. God, we will make mistakes. I make mistakes all the time. Lord, we will act foolish. And I'm so thankful that you give us grace and mercy when we make those mistakes. And Father, I want to pray that you would lead us closer to the cross, Lord, not asking how close can I get to the line before I sin, but instead asking questions like, Lord, how can I honor you and glorify you by being selfless and sacrificial and serving? God, how can I be filled with the Spirit to where I'm gracious, I'm spiritual, I'm respecting people? So God, in this moment now, I just pray for the people here that God, all of us, Lord, would know that you've put something pretty awesome in us if we've been saved, and we need to pay attention to that. God, give us wisdom. And Lord, if someone here that doesn't know you, I pray they would have the courage, be wise enough to come and give their life to Christ. So Lord, we thank you for life in HD, that we're different. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Would you stand? Our deacons are here. They'd love to pray with you. They'll pray over you if you come, if you need them to. Won't you sing? I don't know how you need to respond today, but you just respond however the Lord tells you to respond today.